Dennis, I've become a victim of my own success.
Coming in hot today.
Hope. Yeah. Well, and my successes are many. My successes are, I was going to say back-breaking. No, knee-breaking. I was talking the other week about how I started running again. And how I've been actually kind of trying to take my health and my fitness back in hand. And broadly speaking, it's been really good. Like that app that is designed to...
Guess 5K?
No, the six-pack one, right?
Oh, yes. How's that coming along?
Well, it's been over a month, and it's not... I think it would be very generous for me to describe it as a six-pack, but it's certainly you know what it is, Dennis? It's a six-pack in the same way that French steaks are cooked.
Ah, so not at all. It's warmed.
There's certainly an element, there's a conception of the idea of a six-pack, right?
It is the LaCroix of the LaCroix of six-packs.
Yeah, exactly. This is a body that someone who has explained the idea of a six-pack to, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is the first draft. Is what it is, yeah. But I buggered my knee.
We can talk about knee buggering in a moment if you want. Something that I've hidden from the audience for a while, Riley.
How buggered your knees? You're going to beat me on that score, yeah. But no, I wanted.
So you jogged too close to the sun.
I jogged far too close to the sun. It has been very warm and sunny here, but no. I had to go to the physio, and I was. I know. So I've been running about 5K. It's been really good, but. I think I've just been going at it too hard, running more or less every day. And after about five or six consecutive days, I got back from a run and I couldn't get up the stairs because my knee was just like, so it was fine. And then I stopped and then I was like, oh, that doesn't feel right.
So what part of your knee? Describe this to me.
So beneath the kneecap, right?
Okay.
It's like a fiery, burning, very tight. I can't bend.
I bet you have tendonitis.
Well, they're mixed opinions. So first of all, went to the doctor. Doctor said it's probably a meniscal tear, but referred me to the physio, right? Physio thinks it is if I lose you, Dennis, in the very complicated, I know you're a medical man yourself, a former radiologist.
Well, you call me a medical man. It sounds like I sell snake oil off the back of a cart, by the way. But
yeah, we used to sell dodgy x-rays off the back of a cart.
That's true.
A radiologist before, of course, video came along and killed the
radiology star.
Killed the radiology star. I feel like there's something there.
Yeah, we'll workshop that.
We can workshop that.
Write that one down. We'll bring it back. We'll come back to us.
Anyway, went to the physio. Physio had a look and went, no. You've got, and again, if this is too technical, the medical terminology here is going to get pretty advanced. You've got something that we call runner's knee.
Runner's knee, yeah.
And it's an affliction that affects the knee of... Dennis, can you guess what subsection of society runner's knee affects?
Is it people over 30, Riley?
No, it's runners. Oh. But it probably is. Now that you bring it up, it probably is people over 30 who have a... Yeah, I don't like thinking about that. You and your Gilded Throne still 29. Well,
yeah, I got 6 months of runway left, although I think I'd get runner's knee pretty quick. Now I'm certain I'd get runner's knee pretty quick.
So anyway... It's fine. I have to do a bunch of strengthening exercises. Very boring, not very funny to talk about. We can skip over it. I have to get a foam roller and do weird, like...
I think foam rollers are a scam, man. They're just like, jab yourself in the leg with this thing. That'll fix it up real good.
Oh, it's not jabbing. I've got to like lie on it like it's...
Yeah, but it's so painful.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't mind how it feels, man. Honestly, it feels like a tough massage.
What you do in your spare time is up to you. That's not far be
from I, honestly, I even I like it's. It, I don't think it would fit. I have to say, it's a very it's got quite some girth on it. This foam roller. Anyway,
it's ribbed.
Oh yeah, rib for his or her or their pleasure. Anyway, but ribbed the wrong way. I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience with things being ribbed for. Anyway, we can move on. Speaking of getting old, right, which is something I really don't want this podcast to be about, two elder millennials getting
it's becoming older. Old man shouts a cloud a little bit, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. But the physio was definitely younger than me. Oof. And it's fine. It's actually fine.
I've been to doctors that are younger than me for sure.
Yeah, and people are like, oh, you know, you have to get used. I'm like, it's fine. If anything, it's good. They've come out of medical school with the latest.
Fresh, yeah.
Like they've got the newest ideas. They're not like old dinosaurs who are like, oh well, you need a poultice made of goat turds and grass clippings.
Yeah, you need
and
to then eat some gravel from the pavement you hurt your knee on, and that'll fix it.
Allow me to get the leeches out. Like, yeah, it's good. But no, it's fine. Good bloke. Josh looked after me pretty well. Going back to see him again. And he says that the knee will be back in good nick. But I wanted to ask, Dennis, because I know that your knee's a bit stuffed. And I don't know if you want to talk about it.
We can dive in a little bit. I stuffed my knee pretty bad.
But just injuries generally. Is that the worst injury you've had? Tell us about the knee. But if you've got other...
I've never broken a bone.
Yes. Okay.
I've had like two moles removed, which I guess is like voluntary injuries. I'm just a moly guy. That's going to be very common in Australia, I would imagine.
It is, yeah. It's something that actually is taken very seriously. If you get like a new growth or a spot or a mole or anything, you go to a doctor and they have a look at it to make sure. Because, yeah, we've got the highest, Australia, number one in melanoma and skin cancer.
Well, it's probably the hottest country inhabited by the whitest people.
That is probably true.
Right?
The hotness to whiteness coefficient.
Yeah.
Is probably the highest in Australia.
No, dark skin people can obviously still get skin cancer, but it's much, much more common in whiter skin people.
And we're just built different, Dennis. We're just built different.
Well, genealogically, you're mostly like English and Irish people.
Yes, yeah. Never seen the sun of the day in their life.
Exactly. You
know? And then they all got transported over to Australia. They're like, oh, what's that giant glowing orb in the sun, in the sky?
Do we worship it? No, that's idolatry. Can't do that.
Can't do that.
Yeah, I think that's probably it, right? Because like everywhere in the Mediterranean is, first of all, not quite as hot, and second of all, more olive-skinned.
Sure. Well, I mean, there's a direct correlation between how sunny and hot it is and how pigmented the skin of the people who originally inhabited those countries or those areas for thousands and thousands of years. Like, yeah, that's not an accident. It's not a coincidence.
We're kind of touching on, unfortunately, how great a job the Australian people did of eradicating the indigenous people in Australia, which is true.
You know, some of the things that white Australians are really good at, getting sunburned and, yes, indigenous genocide. So we can really pat ourselves on the back for that one. Anyway,
before we get away from mole chat, I did have a mole remove once that was on my chest. It wasn't even that like weird, it hadn't changed shape or anything. But a lot of the time they're like, get it off, whatever.
Not hurting anyone except you as it gets sliced off you, but sure.
Well, it turns out it wasn't anything dangerous because they do the test after they remove it. And they're like, it's just fine. And they're like, okay, cool.
Imagine if they do that with an amputation. Now, we're just going to take your leg off just to be sure. Turns out it was fine.
But no, the guy's gives me like a little love kind of aesthetic. And he first of all, so like I can't feel anything when he's like cutting into my flesh to remove the small patch of it, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But you can feel, which is very weird, the tension on the rest of the skin around it.
Test. Don't like that.
So you can feel it like tug, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not good.
No.
And the surgeon was a German guy, and it was a very scary experience because he was leaning over me, and then he cut it off, and he went to like put it in like the dish where it gets tested or whatever, right?
Biopsied or whatever, yeah.
And he pauses and he goes, "Would you like to see what I have removed?" And I was like,
"One last sure. look for you, sir, before this and part of you is taken away forever."
And then he waves this just hunk of my own flesh in front of me, and I was like, "Neat."
Nice.
Thanks, man.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, doctor.
But I buggered my knee. It was back, I think it was in August now. Is that right?
It's been a while. Yeah. You haven't really mentioned it because I know it was pretty bad. Like it actually jeopardized our holiday because
obviously
you
wanted to
go hiking, head up the mountains, that sort of stuff. And it was touch and go for a while as to whether you'd actually even be able to make it.
Let me check my... Yeah, it was the 9th of August, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And I hurt myself in the gym, really.
Yeah.
In the least cool possible way, I slipped in the changing room. The reason I haven't talked about it is because I have like a personal injury claim and stuff. I'm filing all that stuff because the gym is pretty wildly responsible. But focusing on the injury, buggered my knee real bad. Mm. And turned out I had a partial tear in my quadriceps tendon. Very nearly full tear, which requires a surgery to reattach, which is the one that attaches your thigh muscle to your knee.
I sprained my ACL
as well.
Only sprained it.
Yeah, well, they did two X-rays, and they're basically like, "Yeah, your knee's too busted up for us to be able to see anything. We'll try again in 2 weeks." I was like, "All right, cool, thanks."
Do you know my favorite part of that whole thing, though, was? Because you seem to be like, "Oh, yeah, I've stuffed my knee, Germany, blah, whatever." I'm like, "Oh, it's no good." And you're like, "Yeah, have a look at it. It's terrible. Sent me a picture." And you were like, "Look how bad it is." I'm like, Oh boy, yeah, looks really bad because it was covered in red bruises, which I found it difficult to differentiate from the rest of your skin. Not to say that, you know, you look eternally sunburned, it's just they didn't show up very clearly. And then a week later, when the bruises had turned, you know, black and
brown,
blue,
yeah.
Holy moly, I was impressed. Then I was like, oh boy, you really did a number. You really, really got yourself here.
I had full bruising, like a couple inches up my thigh, a couple inches down my shin, full 360 all the way around, and my leg was, you know, like twice the size it should be and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was I'm still going to the physio, still doing the exercises, still. Now, unfortunately, I can only get a virtual physio.
Why is that?
I don't know. All the consultations here in Ireland since COVID now are like, hey, unless you need like a massage. And it's fine. She'll be like, okay. She's like, you know, put your hand against the wall, stand on one leg. Can you do that? Can you bend? How painful is it? All right, do this. It's fine. It's broadly doing, because I've had a couple of, like when I went to like the orthopedic surgeon and stuff, that was a much more physical examination. And yeah, it's not that different. Most of the time they're just like, all right, stand here. Does that hurt? Okay, cool. And they write something down. They don't touch you very much at all anyway.
No, Josh was pushing and pulling and poking and prodding.
Oh, Josh, that's Josh's prerogative. I don't know. Josh.
No, he was great. I'm not going to have a word said against Josh. You did a good job. He was like, he laid me down. He's like pushing my leg back to see if it was or twisting it around to see if it hurt this way or that way. And he was great. He was.
Michelle is lovely. I have nothing bad to say about Michelle either. But it's only now really that I'm like back to the gym and able to do some actual meaningful exercises, because I couldn't walk for a long time. Like when we went to Germany. My bag, which was rudely, you know, stolen away from Berlingers, had like a little walking stick in it.
Yeah. So we had to. Well, it was, you know what? It was fine. It made it very a very leisurely holiday, because we didn't exert ourselves. We went along at quite a cruisy pace wherever we went. It was nice. It was good.
Oh yeah, it's rough. But yeah, that's the worst injury I've ever had. I was going to ask:
Is that the worst injury you've ever had?
I can't think of any other massive injuries I've ever had.
Because I usually win these conversations. That's why I like bringing it up. It's because I can almost.
Well, you have a
win.
Giant scar in your back.
Yeah, I mean, I broke my neck, and it doesn't get much worse than that, you know. So yeah, yeah.
You look like a replicant when viewed from behind.
All right, mate, settle down. When I was 17, I was playing rugby, and I got spear tackled. And for those of you who don't know what that means, it means basically picked up and sort of flipped over using your own momentum, and then dumped on your head.
Yeah, you were tackled in rugby as if you were playing American football.
I guess, maybe, I don't know, but obviously they don't wear the suit of armor that you wear onto the field for American football. Very, very badly injured. I was in hospital. I was in one of those neck braces for a long time. And, you know, at the age of 17 in high school, so you can imagine all of my peers were very understanding, very
supportive. Yeah,
supportive. Almost supportive as the neck brace itself. But I've been lucky, I think, because my neck's been like basically bolted together. I don't have a full range of movement on it, but I've been quite lucky with the recovery. I take care of it. I make sure not to, like, I don't know, wrestle with people or dive headfirst into water that I can't see the bottom of and that sort of thing.
Well, that'll mess you up anyway, regardless of previous neck injuries.
Well, that's the whole thing. But no, look, broadly speaking, no long-term effects, although the doctors have said I can expect some pretty wicked arthritis as I get older, so that'll be fun. But usually that wins. And if that doesn't win, then the fact that I had a stroke when I was 22 usually gets there as well. Technically, it wasn't a stroke. It was a stroke with one of those. It was a stroke with one of those like little asterisks on it. You know what I mean?
A
transient ischemic attack. It was a mini stroke, basically. Yeah, something like that. But that was fun. Paralyzed down the right hand side of my body.
Anything that made you predisposed to that?
I don't know. Honestly, it was funny because I was fought over by cardiology and neurology for months and months and months afterwards, right? Because they were trying to argue, because I get very bad migraines, or I used to get very bad migraines. That was a problem that fixed itself. Some reason I just got older and I don't get bad migraines anymore. But the neurology were arguing it was migraines. The cardiology were arguing that it was like a hole in my heart or something like that. So it was left up for debate. But for someone who's in like pretty good health, I've
been
through
the wars, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what helps a lot when you have a migraine, which is actually interesting. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or I've talked about this.
Go on.
So a lot of the time when you get a migraine, it's because like the blood vessels in your head are constricted.
Okay, I'll just remind you that this is a podcast where we've already sailed pretty close to the sun today, talking about the alternate uses of things like foam rollers.
It's not just that. It's in that zone.
That's good. Excellent.
Which is why, like, if I get a migraine, Nikki has one of those little owls that's full of like little beads that you put in the microwave. Do you know those?
Owls that are full of beads.
Well, sorry, it's not always an owl. It's a little teddy that's full of beads that you put in the microwave and it gets warm.
Oh, do you mean like a wheater?
What are you talking about?
Wheater. We call them wheaters here. Like it's basically a bag that has grains of wheat in it, and then you put it in the microwave for like 2 or 3 minutes, and it stays warm. You take it a bit.
So I get one of those, and I put it like on the back of my head or on my forehead, and that usually helps quite a lot.
Really, warming it up does.
Yeah, because that's what you're trying to open things up. You're not trying to close things off. Like some people find ice helpful, fine.
Yeah, because I would have said I would prefer to ice it. Yeah.
No, warming it up. But and Riley, if you go number two.
Oh.
So I want you to where you're sitting in your chair right now.
Let's go and punch a growler. Okay.
Bear down as if you are doing that. Like push.
Okay. Yeah, right. Okay.
Can you feel, and you'll feel your head, the blood pressure in your head spike up.
Yeah, yeah, right. So that gets things moving.
That gets things flowing. Often I've had, because I noticed many times it's like, I have a headache, I go, I poop, and I'm like, I don't have a headache anymore. What happened?
So it's like when cops come out to traffic lights that are broken.
Yes, yes.
Because there's this log jam, like all the, there's a huge traffic jam and the cops have to come out to like direct the cars where to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you've got a migraine and you need to go and just pinch off a turd, it's just like the cops, and you're like, okay.
I was one of those things where I was like, oh, right, I was going to make an analogy here. And then you finished the analogy and I was like, oh, no, that was it. All right, cool.
Actually worked pretty well, yeah. It was a better result than any of us could have hoped for.
So yeah, that will help. There's a little pro tip for you. If nothing else, you've learned that from this episode of How to Listen to This Today, I think.
I learned all sorts of things from this episode today. Really, really good. All the stuff that doesn't end up on the cutting room floor, at least anyway. But no, I'm usually pretty well situated when it comes to who's had the worst injury conversation, which means that like me bringing it up is kind of one of those things where it's when you ask someone a question just so you can answer it.
You're in a unique position where you've had pretty serious injuries and had, broadly speaking, no long-term ill effects, which is pretty rare.
Well, for now, we'll see. I'm really not looking forward to this arthritis, but...
We're looking back, come back to have listened to this episode 418, Riley's new arthritis meds.
Yeah, where I'm talking about how I can't move my neck even 1 or 2 degrees to the left or the right. So that'll be great fun.
Riley, I've been plagued. I've been plagued by what I can only describe as a phantom cat.
Okay. I mean, you've already got a real cat, so...
I know. So double dip. It eats twice as much food. It's annoying. No. Right. I have a lovely Nordace backpack that I'm a big fan of.
Nordace backpack. Nordace.
So if you look it up, Nordace. I, Dennis Trainak, wholeheartedly endorse this brand.
Well, excellent, don't say backpacks. That for free. What are you talking about?
Well, look, if Nordace want to give me a coupon code, I will take it in a heartbeat. Love these bags.
It is a nice looking backpack. Have you got the, is this a smart backpack?
I got the Sienna 2 smart backpack, I believe, yes.
Oh, it's even smarter now. It can do quadratic equations.
It actually, real talk, these backpacks are very smart. I don't know how else to describe it. They got a bunch of pockets, they have like a luggage strap on the back. Underneath the luggage strap, there's a secret pocket so you can put like cash or your passport in there. You know, they have a built-in charger.
Can't take them on a plane, that means, right?
Yeah, you can. The battery's not big enough.
I guess you can't put it in the hold, but then why would you want to? Yeah, okay, sure. All right. They're actually good-looking backpack. I shouldn't be saying this for free, but they are actually good-looking backpacks.
It's really nice. I have the red one. It's a nice material. It's just a lot of very, very thoughtful little features.
Right.
Like, I also have their duffel bag, right? So if you go to, like,
the anti-cut drawstring bag, the Nordace Locket,
No, I have their Nordace Sienna Weekender.
We're just doing free advertising here. I don't like this.
So I have this duffel bag. It's a great gym bag. Great for going away for, as you would expect, a weekend. Full of secret pockets, all this kind of stuff. It's got the luggage straps so you can put it on top of a rolly suitcase, all this stuff. It's got a little side pocket that's waterproof so you can put your shoes in it. Really good.
Why is your shoes the first thing you put together? Ah, waterproof pocket. Well, this only has limited inventory space. I won't put, you know, my $1,000 smartphone in there. I'll put my $80 pair of shoes in there.
It's for shoes. It's a shoe bag. It's a shoe pocket.
Why are shoes the thing that you need to keep dry the most?
It's not that the water. It's more that it keeps the other things away from it.
Oh, it makes everything else right. You put your wet shoes in there, and it's preventing the shoe wetness from getting into other things. Yeah.
It's also got a charger. It's got a multi-tap charger, Riley. It's got the little, like, it's got a little three-prong thing with a lightning cable, USB-C cable, and a micro USB cable.
Oh, in case what? You're from the Stone Age and you've got a device that needs, you know, that you could charge with a pterodactyl anyway, running in a wheel. A pterodactyl wouldn't run in a wheel. I wasn't quick on my feet with that one. I'll wear that. Go on.
So step one, nordist.com, get tomorrow's bag today. Step two.
Coupon code, please, have a listen to this. It won't do anything.
Yeah, please tweet at them to get them to give us a coupon code. Because I really enjoy that. But Riley, I picked up my Nordice bag the other day. My backpack. My Sienna 2 Smart backpack.
Okay.
It smelled funny.
Okay.
I was like, oh. And it smelled funny only inside. As in, I opened it when I came back from Christmas at Nikki's parents' place. And I was like, oh, it smells weird. And I was like, it smells a little bit like cat pee.
Oh, no. Did they accidentally, instead of using new bag smell, they used cat piss smell?
Well, it's not a new bag. I've had it for like 2 years.
I thought you just picked it up.
No. I picked it up physically.
I thought you meant as in like you picked it up as in like it was a Christmas gift or something.
No, I'm a long-term Nordice fan.
Okay. You're not just jumping on the Nordice bandwagon.
No, I'm an early adopter. I was like, it smells like cat pee. And I was like, I have a cat.
Mm.
So, you know, it's not exactly... Murder, She Wrote situation here. Pretty sure I could figure out what happened.
It's not a piss, She Wrote situation.
It's not a piss, She Pissed situation. But Yuri never pees anywhere outside of his litter box.
No, cats are good like outdoors. That. Yeah. Cats are good like
and
that.
When
yeah.
I thought about it more, I was like, it doesn't so much smell like cat pee as it smells like cat litter.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I remember I was like, I did spill some of my water bottle in the bag like a couple of weeks ago.
And you do so maybe fill like, up your water bottle from the bottom of Yuri's cat litter tray, which I've always found weird.
No, but like maybe some damp set in and maybe that smells a little bit. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I'm mad at my cat, Riley, but I don't know if he deserves it.
And he's not saying anything.
No, I mean, his silence speaks volumes. Truthfully, my cat doesn't shut up. You've experienced that.
Well, so, yeah, he's taking the saying too much, right? Like just saying a lot all the time to try to confuddle and confuse
you. Yeah, confuse the message. Yeah. But so I'm trying to get this cat pee smell or cat litter smell out of my bag. And the bag's not machine washable. Most backpacks aren't, to be honest. They'll just get wrecked.
Well, this one particularly not. A battery.
Well, electronics. Yeah. It's
if the battery's
okay.
getting dirty, maybe you need to, you know, give it a clean.
But no, I was like, okay, so I'll get some like detergent. I'll put a little basin with hot water. I'll scrub it clean and stuff. And I've never felt more like a serial killer.
Cleaning the inside of a backpack.
Sitting in the bathtub, scrubbing a backpack with a brush and like just like a lie. I felt very American Psycho when he's like yelling at her in the laundromat. I've been like, I need these sheets clean. I felt very much like that. So first of all, you've recently acquired a cat.
I've recently required a cat. Yes, I've required a cat for a long time.
I started this thing. You recently received a cat, and I was like, "That's not right. You've acquired a cat. You
recently acquired a cat." Yeah.
Has Skosh, you know, infected any things in your house beyond the box you designated her?
Well, here's the thing about cat ownership. Unless you get one of them like Dr. Evil bald cats, right? Here's something I forgot about having a cat. They have a lot of hair, and they don't seem to want much of it.
Well, you live in a very hot country. So,
oh my goodness, there is so much cat hair everywhere, right? Yeah. Just everywhere. So I can't wear dark clothes anymore without getting one of the, you know, we've got the sticky roller things.
Yeah.
We bought a bulk pack of them because we're going through them so fast. Like if I want to leave the house in a navy or black t-shirt, I have to roll it down first because it's just cat hair.
Well, why don't you brush the cat?
We do brush the cat. That's what I said to Megan. Still, we need to get a cat brush. We brush her like, I don't know, a couple of times a week?
Still not. And a lot of hair comes off anyway.
Handfuls of hair come off her. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if because we're brushing her, she's like, oh, I need to make more.
Because I live, I mean, it might be different. I know the temperature differential isn't quite as high in Australia, obviously, as it is here, but like it's really cold here right now.
Mm-hmm.
So Yuri isn't shedding any hair. But he's also massively puffed up.
Yeah, cute.
He's got his winter coat on. He's got his a puffy little face. It's good. But like if I leave a t-shirt out on a bed or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yuri will always sleep on it, which is very sweet. But that t-shirt's just ruined. Just yes. covered yeah. in cat
yeah.
hair.
Yeah, throw it out. Get a new one. Scotia likes lying on cardboard. So when we first, here's an interesting story. When we first bought her, Megan was very excited to get all the cat accessories. So we went and bought toys and that. And
she wants the best for her little girl, absolutely.
We bought her a bed. And I was like, it was $60. We bought like a middle of the range one, right? And I said to her, like, we can buy this if you want, but there is no point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the cat will not use it. The cat will not sleep on the bed. And she goes, well, she might. I said, well, she might, but she's not going to. What she's going to do is she's...
Yuri used to sleep on his bed to his credit. He doesn't anymore, though.
I've never had a cat that has slept in any bed that I've ever provided for her, ever, right? Not one. And this proved true with Scotia as well. She likes to sleep on a bit of cardboard. Just a flat bit of cardboard. I don't know what's going on there. I have no idea. But she just likes this little bit of cardboard. It was like one of those... it was a box that was a box is a very it was if you ever order a book online, it comes basically in a bit of cardboard that's been folded over and then has a bit a of little a sleeve wall around
like,
it.
Yeah,
like a sleeve, exactly. And then once I took the book out, I unfolded and she was like, obviously, you make an offering of your cardboard to your cat. That's tradition. That's what you do. That's turned into like a little pseudo bed for it. So I took the bed back, not a hair on it. Hair all over my t-shirt, hair all over everything else, but not a hair on the bed because
spotless
she had never
hair,
slept on
spotless
it.
Spotless bed, yeah, yeah.
And exchanged it and got more toys for her instead. But she won't sleep on a bed. She sleeps on a bit of cardboard.
I think I talked about this before, but my cat, in terms of sleeping arrangements, has made a cuckold of me.
Okay,
so,
all right.
So Nikki will lie down and she has two pillows and she'll take one pillow and rotate it 90 degrees so that it is a vertical pillow, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then scooch it down so it's like an L shape with her normal pillow.
Okay, yes. Is this like a cuddling pillow?
And then Yuri will come up, lie fully onto the vertical pillow.
Yeah.
Rest his head on Nikki's normal pillow.
Yeah.
The way a human would. Normally cats lie down like in like a curled up sort of croissant shape.
Yes.
No, he'll lie like a human would on his side.
Okay, I like that. That's good.
Nose to nose with Nikki.
Yeah.
And then purr and drool. And when I come in, because usually he gets to bed a little before me, quite often when I come in, he'll be startled and run away as if I've caught him in bed with my wife.
he's like his paramour. He's having to hide naked in the cupboard waiting for you.
Exactly.
To
he makes for the door. And Nikki's like, she's like, I love that he comes to cuddle. I hate that he runs away when you come. It makes it feel so weird.
Yeah. I mean, my cat absolutely adores Megan.
Well, the cat adores Megan.
Isn't a huge fan of me. Doesn't like... We're fine. Like, we get on fine. We have an understanding. But, like, my cat will cry whenever Megan goes and has a poo because she can't be in the room with Megan. Or, like, Megan was out...
Oh, Yuri can't handle losing... If Nikki goes to the office and I stay and I work from home that day, Yuri will just run around in circles yelling. And I'm like, no, what do you want? I can't bring her back.
It's just... Yeah, it's just... When Megan's away, like when Megan's out away, like at work or whatever, she's fine. But when Megan was out, like on the deck, laying in the sun the other day, right, just out of sight of the back door, the cat just sat at the back door and cried and cried and cried, which she never does when Megan is actually gone. So I think she could still smell Megan outside, and was just weeping for her. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. They absolutely love each other. It's their house. I just live in it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I ran into a very similar thing with my sister-in-law's kid over Christmas, where he's like 2 years old, and his dad had gone up the road to like, take care of something. His mom was still there. And he knew his dad was outside, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But didn't know how imminently outside. So he would run around the house to every external door. The door to the garden, the side door that goes at this other thing, the front door, whatever, and just take his little hands and slap them on and go, Daddy, Daddy. And I'm like, he's just outside. You can't knock on the door to outside, which is what he was doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's a lot like Scotia where she's like, well, she's here, but she's not. I simply don't understand. This is unacceptable.
Yeah, I can smell her. She hasn't left, but she's not here with me. I'm not. These are just not terms that I can sign off on here. What I'm saying. It sounded like you weren't finished. Sorry, before I cut across, which I do a lot. I do apologize. I'm not the ideal podcast co-host. I have to say. It sounded like you wanted to talk more about your being cuckolded by your cat.
No, no, no. What I wanted to ask was, have you ever had experience with trying to frantically get a stain out of something? Like, you know, going to meet Megan's parents wherever you get a ketchup stain on your shirt, that kind of thing.
No, I did have a thing recently where, this is going to, it sounds like a made up story, but like, you know, when you go to the, like a public toilet, right? Like in a mall or something, right? So it was at the shopping center and I must have leant on the I don't know what to call it. It's not a table. What is it? The thing that the sinks are all set in? The counter. I must have leant against it, right? And it must have been wet on the side because when I came back, I just had a big wet stain like right above my crotch. And it's funny
because... you pissed yourself up. I love that.
Well, 10 years ago, I would have worried that that's what people looked at and thought. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. People are going to think what they want.
That's happened to me too, man, where you don't notice it until you lean against it to wash your hands over, and the counter is just covered in water.
Yeah, it's just super wet. Well, I didn't even notice until I was back outside of the toilet. And then when I looked down, I was like, oh, okay. But years ago, you know, there's that scene, we're watching Silicon Valley at the moment, which is an excellent TV show. I recommend it very highly, where Richard Hendricks, who is a little bit socially awkward, the main character, he has this situation happen to him and he ends up deciding to put more water on the rest of his pants to make it look like he didn't piss himself. And then it got so wet that he had to take them off, and then Jared comes in and finds him trying to, like, he's like wringing them out in the sink. It's very funny. It's a lot funny when you watch it. Describing funny TV show scenes is not the best bit of...
So you weren't quite on dunking your pants in the sink to just try to cover up a little bit of a splash.
No, I was the opposite. I was just like, oh, okay, I don't care. I'm going to go into Coles, and if people think I piss myself, they can think that. That's fine.
They can think that. That makes sense, I suppose.
I don't know.
I worry that this bag is beyond our approach because I've done some Googling.
Yeah, what are we doing with it? What's the plan?
Well, so I washed it with the detergent or whatever, and then I was like, now it kind of just smells like coconuts and cat piss, so that's not great progress. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
So I took it to the window in the bedroom and I put it outside on the windowsill. We live up, you know, on the second floor. I put it outside on the windowsill and I was like, that'll be fine. And I come back later and I go, oh, Nikki, did you take my bag in? And she goes, no. And I was like, oh, uh-oh. It's definitely fallen out behind the house.
Yeah.
So at like 1 a.m. last night, because it's when I was going to bed, I was like, oh, I should go get my bag. Yeah. I turn on my torch on my phone. I go around the back, very spooky, rather, by the little section by the back of the house. Just like a little bit of tiny sort of scrub land and leaves and stuff. And now my lovely Nordace backpack. On a nicer day, it was nestled among some like fallen leaves. It looks like a photo shoot for the product, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I pick it up and I stand up with my phone torch on and I'm just looking directly into the window of the apartment beneath me, where I have to assume my very elderly neighbor thinks he was being burgled. Yes. As a guy with a bag just shines a torch into his bedroom at 1 a.m. Not just a bag. Because I've been washing it and trying to get the smell, it's open. It's a jar in my hand. I look like a cartoon burglar.
Yeah. Yeah. You needed, you should have had the word loot written on it or a dollar sign.
Yeah, or a dollar sign.
And like the sort of mask that Robin used to wear in the old Adam West Batman TV show.
You know
what
those are called? Those are called domino masks. I don't know why, but they are. Masks.
Oh, because they've got two holes in them like the 1-1 domino.
All right.
A domino with one dot on either side of it.
There's a game to dominoes, right?
Yeah, you line them up and you have to like match a 1 to a 1 and a 6 to a 6 and
I thought we were just making like really shit puzzles whenever I saw people playing dominoes. I didn't know what was going on.
I'm surprised to see like grown adults playing it because it does seem like I thought it was a kid's game, but then people sit and play it like in the same way they play chess. So maybe there's a secret mode of dominoes, like a secret new game plus with dominoes that we haven't unlocked yet. But no, there's definitely a game to it. I've never played it.
Did you ever play chess as a kid? I got into a
I find, I Dennis, cool for me, chess, you know, the 8x8 board, the pieces, never, you know, always the same, far too simple.
Oh, what
for
was this
likewise.
Tweet? Who tweeted
this?
Yeah,
it's pretty good. So this is Elon Musk tweeted about how chess is, it was too easy for him, being the super genius that of course he is. A game that has lasted hundreds and hundreds of years and still attracts the greatest minds in the world. A game that is so immensely complex and skill testing that, you know, it enraptures tens of thousands of people every time there is a broadcast. Millions and millions of dollars on the line with every major tournament of this game. But no, of course.
Yeah, anal beads and all. Cheating scandals included.
That's right. It's got something for everyone, Dennis.
Something for everyone. It's got a foam roller for everyone at home. Chess is always very strange to me because I learned chess from my father, who taught me to play in Croatian.
Okay.
Where the word for chess is shah, as in shah, as in king.
Yes. The Persian word for shah, the Persian word for king, shah, and that's where check comes from, the word check.
Well, shah and shahmat. Yeah, so I wouldn't say, like, you would say shahmat. And I was like, yeah, okay. And so then, but then, yeah, the word checkmate, it doesn't mean anything. Check and checkmate don't mean anything. Shah and shahmat do. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's where it comes from. Is
yeah,
from...
but that, so that tidbit to me was always very obvious. I was like, yeah.
Because you find cool. Oh, right. So, it's like, oh, fun fact about chess. The word check comes from the Persian word for king, shah. And you're like, well, yes, of course it does.
Yeah, of course it does. Fun word, yeah. Yeah.
An intellectual already know this.
Fun fact for Shah, people in the West call it chess. That's kind of how I came to it.
No, I'm just too dumb for chess. Too dumb. Apparently,
once you get good at chess, it stops being a strategy game. It starts being more of a like lane memorization game.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of...
you learn lines and then try to figure out what line your opponent's on. And what line beats that line, et cetera.
You have to hold a bunch of different like branching decision trees in your head, and if this then, you know, if X then Y, if Z then
you trim them down. Yeah,
I ran out of letters, but yeah, it's never been something I've been. I'm not very good at very many things. I'm okay at some things, but I'm not like good enough at
old jack of some trades.
Yeah, jack of some trades, master of none. That's me. That's the Riley Knight story there. But no, I don't know, chess. And also chess, it's just like, when you see, it's something, because obviously you and I both, you know, we both played Magic and both the trading card game, we both played it quite competitively, and that teaches you to play games in a certain way. And we've talked about this, like it's hard for us now as people who've
to play games
played
casually.
Magic for so long, to play games casually. We have to play games optimally, you know, and it's a good and a bad thing, but I think with a game like chess, it just means you can't enjoy it casually. I can't enjoy a casual game of chess because I'm like, no, I need to know what... Because there is always a correct move, right? There has to be.
Yes, there's a computationally correct move, right?
Yeah, exactly. So not playing correctly is something that... Yeah, something that is increasingly difficult after you've played Magic.
Well, tricky because I believe quite successful chess players will make slightly suboptimal moves often.
Mm.
To confuse the line that they're going with.
That's still that
now it's
a
like
level,
a weird fencing sort of tango.
That's the thing that also has a level of correctness to it because it's going to produce a better outcome. If I play chess, I'm moving pieces semi-randomly, really.
That's the best kind of chess, I think, where you derive the board from first principles every time.
But then the problem with that is it's going to just be the Super Smash Brothers thing all over again, right? Where, like, I'll do that for a while, get bored because I'm not getting better, look up online stuff, and then fall down a rabbit hole where I'm, you know, I have to...
You'll ruin the game for yourself, yeah.
And it ruins the game, yeah. So the best, Dennis, only winning move, not to play.
The only winning move, chess, not to play.
That's it. Unless you have access to anal beads and a very willing confederate, and then the winning move is obviously to stick them up your bum and cheat your way to the top.
Go to town, baby. Let's go.
Which is, you know, I don't want to be sued for $200 million, so I don't think anyone's doing that, but it's certainly...
It's just a fun hypothetical. What's the line they put at the start of movies? Any similarities between this story and real persons are purely coincidental.
Coincidental. Yeah, this is a light, frothy entertainment podcast where Dennis and I talk about a range of absurd and ridiculous situations, like a cat breaking into Dennis's Nordace backpack and pissing in it. Which, like, we still haven't figured out what's the end game here. What are you doing?
I don't know, dude. It was only last night that the bag fell off the windowsill, presumably trying to end it all. So I don't know how. But at some point, I'm going to have to either accept the inside of my bag smells a little bit weird now, or buy a new one. Nordace.com, coupon code /have a listen to this.
The thing is, like, your options are kind of limited because cat piss... Do you know why cat piss smells so bad?
It's got ammonia in it, right? And humans are very sensitive to that.
It might be that. That might play into it. But I know that cat piss is extremely concentrated because cats, like domestic house cats, they need very, very little water. Very little water, right? Apparently, I don't know if this is true. I remember reading years ago that a cat, like in its natural wild habitat or whatever, can get enough moisture by just eating fresh meat, right? So, like a cat that is out hunting and eating like birds or whatever else actually doesn't need to drink water.
To
I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you to stop putting bowls of water out for your cat. Certainly, continue to give the cat water if it wants it. Our cat only drinks from the tap. Megan,
a lot of cats only drink running water because it's cleaner, right?
Megan has given in to the cat only drinking from the tap, and now is like a little butler for her. Like whenever she'll sit by the tap and sort of give her a look. You know what I mean? Then Megan will drop whatever she's doing and go and turn the tap on, and then turn her off, and little bow for the cat as well. Thank you. Hope my service has pleased you today. But anyway, so cats are very, very good at getting as much moisture as they can out of as little as possible, right? So to do that, they extract huge amounts of.
They leave very little behind in their.
They leave very little behind. They take as much out of the water they drink as they can.
They dump it onto my goddamn backpack at the end. Ugh!
Which means that what comes out stinks because it is extremely concentrated. So good luck. I don't know what you'd use to get the smell of cat piss out of something.
Apparently it's like white vinegar and stuff, and maybe I'll go down that route.
That's not a better smell, though. That's not a better smell.
That's the thing. A lot of the comments were like, you'll replace the smell. Just a lot of the comments on Reddit are just like, buy a new backpack. And look, if Nordace want to reach out, please tweet at them. Get us that sponsorship, because that's a product I truly believe in. And all I can account for is that whatever cat pissed in it has great taste in backpacks.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Have a Listen to This. We do hope you've enjoyed the episode. And hey, if you haven't, doesn't matter. The download numbers show up all the same. So whatever, suckers. But if you did enjoy this show, please tell your friends about it. And look, tell people that aren't your friends. Tell acquaintances and even your enemies. Again, the downloads show up all the same. And if you want to support the show, if you really like the show this much, you can support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Have a Listen to This. You get access to behind the scenes stuff, early access to episodes, all sorts of things. We are definitely in this for the money, not for the love of the game or anything like that. So head over to Patreon and help us get them rookie numbers up.